some disability justice activists state that genocide is a mass disabling event, that in addition to mass murder, the disabling of Palestinians is intentional. Given that the genocide did not begin on October 7th, what are some of the long-lasting or intergenerational impacts of genocide on survivors?
I'm not sure what deaf people in Gaza, how they're feeling, because we haven't been able to engage directly, but I can speak to my own terms, and it is the pain, the suffering. I know what it's like to have the communication barriers, because the communication is so important. We know that it's a hearing world. There are 10 to 15,000 deaf people and people with disabilities that we're aware of inside Gaza. But I have heard of three deaf men who have recently passed away, two of them being brothers who died during an airstrike, and another deaf man died as well. And I'm just not sure of what information that they're getting. And they're not people that do post often on Instagram. So there's just so many other people out there that we don't know of. I could imagine deaf people wouldn't be able to see at night to communicate with the lack of electricity. There's no way to see. They'll be worried about their safety for their family, their husbands, their wives, their children. There's a lot of concern, especially when sun goes down, of how to communicate with each other if they can't see. And I can imagine the same thing with other people with disabilities, wheelchair users and those who are blind and deafblind.
And while significant infrastructure has been damaged or destroyed, how are health professionals able to care and support disabled people in Gaza?
Well, what we know, what happens to deaf people when they come to hospitals, there's no communication. I know that. There are no interpreters. There may be some people who can sign. They're more likely to use a family member as an interpreter. It may be a deaf man with a hearing wife or a sibling in the family or even a child that they would need to rely on to interpret. And I just don't, it's wrong. It's truly wrong. There should be professional interpreters to provide that service. And because deaf people may not understand the more complex medical diagnoses, even things like diabetes, ADHD or autism, that information isn't made accessible. So they would struggle accessing the healthcare system, because we know that the education system as well isn't accessible.
I wanted to ask you a little bit about, you know, the situation outside of Gaza, because I think sometimes the focus has tended to, of course, talk about the genocide in the context of the past 60 days or so. So I just wanted to, I guess, talk a little bit about the broader context of the occupation in Palestine and ask about freedom of movement and how in the West Bank there are many, many checkpoints. And how does this impact Palestinians' ability to access healthcare?
Oh, that's not an area I know too much about to speak to. West Bank, there's just no information accessible to me that I've been able to find. Sorry.
No, thank you for telling us that. And I guess that, you know, speaks to what you were saying before about the inaccessibility of information. And I might ask you then, in terms of the so-called Australian context, would you say that there are a lot of barriers here for disabled people who want to know about and get accurate information about the genocide and occupation?
Oh, it's very hard to get that information. In Palestine, there isn't any deaf awareness across the country. There was a deaf school, and that's it. And I strongly believe that a lot of the teachers and principals there are hearing. So there isn't a great deaf leadership structure there as well. And the teachers that do educate deaf children don't use any Arabic sign language or other sign language. So there is a problem with the deaf education system in Palestine. They don't have that wider understanding. And from my understanding, they're still back where they were in the 60s and the 70s when it comes to deaf education. I wish that somebody somewhere in the world had the knowledge and experience to go in to help the deaf Palestinian community and to know what that means. But unfortunately, the deaf people don't have that.
And I was wondering if you could give your perspective also about people who are undereducated about the issue. They're wanting to be in solidarity, but they, find that there's inaccessible, perhaps, news sources or social media in Australia.
Sorry, I'm aware of two things: that some deaf people don't have literacy skills in their home country language or in English as well. And we know that it's a very auditory world. And when deaf people do ask someone to communicate with them that's hearing, they won't give them the same time of day and focus as they would another hearing person. And so deaf people often are left out of the conversations and they don't know what's going on. It's an access to information. And they don't know what's happening.